miracles. Even people who know very little about the Bible or the Christian faith could tell you that Jesus turned water into wine. And to help us get to the bottom of what this means, what the glory that we're seeing in this miracle is, we need to get into the heads of the people who were there. So we're going to have a look at this wedding that happened. So, first thing we need in order to have a wedding is a bride. I'm going to need a bride. Anyone who's willing to come and be our bride? You don't even know who the groom is yet, so it's a pretty brave thing to do. Don't worry, we're only pretending. Someone come and be my bride. I need a bride to come and stand here for me. Come on. Oh, we've got some bridesmaids coming. Excellent. I've got some bridesmaids. I need a bride. Come on. This is going to take a little... Oh, Felicity, do you want to be our bride? Or do you want to be a bridesmaid? Do you want to be our bride? Okay, you can have our bride's veil, so we know that you're the bride. Here you go. Here comes a bridesmaid. If you'd like to be another bridesmaid, come and join us here at the back. We'd also need a mother of the bride and a father of the bride. Excellent. People are coming. Good. Father of the bride, come on back down to the back here. We're assembling the wedding, the bride's party here. Any more bridesmaids? Anyone want to be a bridesmaid? No? Okay, well, we've got a good party here. And let's put ourselves in the bride's mind. It's the morning of her wedding. She's excited. She's nervous. It's an arranged marriage, but her parents are wise and loving. She has every reason to believe that the person they picked for her to marry is a good match. Perhaps she knows him a little bit as a friend of the family, but she doesn't know him very well yet. So, mixed in with her excitement about what's going to happen, doubtless, as even we have with our non-arranged marriages, there would be some nerves, some trepidation. What's it going to be like? What's he going to be like? What will be his being his wife be like? But anyway, she gets up in the morning, and together with the help of her bridesmaids and her family, she gets ready, and she makes herself beautiful. More beautiful than she's ever been. Now, you need two parties for a wedding, don't you? So, we need a groom. Can I have a groom to come and join me here, please? Someone to be a groom. This is not going to go anywhere without a groom. Bob, will you be our groom? Come and stand and be our groom. Excellent. Here you go. You can have a special groom sash.
Oh, thank you.
So that we know that you're the groom.
Great.
We need a mother of the groom. Excellent. We've got a mother of the groom. We need a best man. Would you come and be our best man? Come on. Yeah. Come and be our best man. Anyone want to be a friend of the groom or another member of the groom's family? Oh, come on. Get with the spirit, guys. We're having a wedding. It's great. And what happens? While the bride has been preparing herself at her house, the groom has been at their new family home. And he's been preparing it for her. And so, once the bride is ready, she and her party start the journey. It's a procession, a joyous procession, from their house, come with me, to the new residence, to the place where the groom and the bride are going to spend their family life together. Once they get there, they'll make their vows and exchange them. They'll go into the house together, and then they'll come out again. And once they come out of the house, the celebration can begin. The marriage has happened, a new family has been formed, and it goes crazy. There's food, there's wine, there's music, there's dancing. It's a wonderful celebration for the whole community. Just stay here for a second, guys. This is the situation that Jesus and his mother and his disciples are invited to. They're invited to a wedding like this. And they're in the celebration. And something goes wrong, as you've heard. Something catastrophic. The wine runs out. Now, we kind of titter. It is bad. The celebration can't go on without more wine. And it's a huge embarrassment. So, we're going to play the game that anyone would play in this situation. And that game is the blame game. Whose fault is it that the wine has run out? Now, I'm actually going to ask, you need to turn to the page in John's Gospel, in your Bibles, where we heard about this. So grab your Bible from in front of you. And you need to look, if you're in one of the Red Pew Bibles, we're on page 1064. We're on page 1064, John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. And here's my question. You'll need to do a bit of deduction, a bit of detective work. Scan through the passage, chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Can you work out whose job it was to make, to provide the wine, to organise the wine for the party? we'll let these guys work it out for us. Have a scan through the passage and do a bit of detective-y thinking. And if you think you can work out whose job it was to arrange the wine, stick up your hand and let us know. Because it's important. The vicar's got his hand up. I think we'll ask the vicar to put his hand back down for now. Any idea? Oh, here's a hand. The bridegroom, that's interesting. Why do you think it's the bridegroom's responsibility?
Because at the end, when the father goes to the bridegroom and said, you should have provided the good wine.
Yeah, this is exactly it. Did everyone hear that? So do you remember at the end of the story, the master of the feast who discovers the new wine that Jesus makes, he wants to work out why this good wine hasn't been served first, it's been at the end. And so who's he take it up with? He takes it up with the bridegroom. The bridegroom had one job. Well, maybe he had lots of jobs. But he had one job among those jobs, and that was to make sure there was enough wine for the party. And he'd done messed up. Can we have a big round of applause for our party? Go take a seat, everyone. Thank you. He'd done messed up. And that makes sense of what Jesus says to his mother, doesn't it? Which seems a bit cryptic, if you remember. She tells him about what's happened. She says, there's no more wine. And he says, what's that got to do with me? My hour has not yet come. It seems like a strange thing to say, but I think we can understand him as saying, I'm not the bridegroom. It's not my wedding. Why are you telling me about this? That was his responsibility. Nonetheless, Jesus does intervene, we know, and we know what happens. Miraculous wine, a miracle of creation, really, of changing the nature of something at the deepest level. Water becomes wine, and wonderful wine, the best wine, better than anything the other bridegroom provided. Jesus has surpassed by far what was going on with the provision of the other bridegroom. And I think this is the aspect of the glory of the Lord Jesus that we can see through what he's done here at this wedding. Jesus has stepped into the shoes of the bridegroom. He's done what the bridegroom should have done, but didn't. Jesus, John is showing us by recounting this miracle that he did, is the great bridegroom. If you want more evidence that this is the big idea here, you can flick over the page to chapter 3, verse 29. John the Baptist is talking about his relationship to Jesus. What does he say? He says, I'm the friend of the bridegroom. He's the bridegroom. If you want even more evidence, you can go to chapter 4, where Jesus meets a woman at a well. And if you're familiar with the Old Testament, you remember that when a man meets a woman at a well, it's the beginning of a love story. Is the beginning of a marriage. This is the great romance of the Bible. Jesus is the bridegroom. It's this wonderful theme, this connected thread that runs through the first couple of chapters of John's gospel. Jesus is the bridegroom. In some ways, the whole story of the Bible can be told as the story of God the Father choosing and preparing a fitting bride for his son. And here's our part in that story. If we're believers, if we're a part of Jesus' people, that is to say, a part of Jesus' church, we together are his bride. We are engaged, so to speak, to Jesus. He's our destiny, our future, our happily ever after. What is the offer of the Christian gospel? In one sense, nothing less than Jesus himself as our bridegroom. let me put this in simple terms. If you're a small person here today, and you've got a mummy and a daddy, and they're married and they love each other, that's a huge blessing. Not everyone has that. But if you have that, a mummy and a daddy who are married and love each other, that is a picture God has given you of what it means to be one of Jesus's people. However imperfectly, however brokenly, I know certainly as a married man, our marriages are very imperfect. But it is nonetheless a picture of that perfect relationship that Jesus has with his church. It's amazing. It's a relationship of total commitment. The bride and the groom make vows to each other. They say, I'm sticking with you no matter what, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. And that's how the Lord Jesus relates to his people. He says, I'm with you. And we say to him, yes, Lord Jesus. And if you help me, I'm with you too. It's a relationship of likeness and difference. The bride and the groom are alike. They're both human beings. Only people can enter into marriages. Other things can't enter into marriages. But they're also different. He's a man and she's a woman. And so without that unity and likeness and difference, with both of those things in play, what can happen? Sometimes, in God's blessing, children can happen. The relationship is one of likeness and difference. And that's just like Jesus and the church. Jesus is like us. He's a human being. He's the same as us. And yet he's also different. He's God. And in that likeness and difference, our relationship can flourish and grow. It's a relationship where there's following and there's sacrifice. As the Bible lays out the way marriage should be, it says that a marriage is a place where a husband's job is to sacrifice and lay down his life for his wife, to prefer her needs, to do what she wants, even if it's not what he wants. And the Bible also says that in a marriage, part of a wife's responsibility is to follow the lead of her husband, to go the way that he is going. And that's exactly like Jesus' relationship with the church. Jesus lays down his life for us. He dies for us. He gives up everything he has to provide everything we need. And we say, yes, Lord Jesus, and I'm going to follow you. It's a beautiful picture. It's amazing. Our marriages, or the marriages of the people we see around us, are gifts from God, a picture of what it means to be one of Jesus' people and to follow him. This is a beautiful picture. But what does it mean for us? What difference does it make for us in the here and now? Well, think back to the bride. On the morning of her wedding, she was excited, but she was also nervous because she didn't know what it would be like to be married to the groom. But we do. We know what the Lord Jesus is like. We know exactly what life with him will entail because we see him in the scripture. We know him. We know his wisdom, his goodness, his mercy, his compassion, his righteousness, his justice, his composure, his eloquence, his creativity, his perfect self-control. And you know, I could go on and on and on about how wonderful the Lord Jesus is, how wonderful life with him is. There's everything beautiful about Jesus, everything good, everything true. He's alluring, captivating, entrancing, and he's ours. So we need have no fear whatsoever, no nerves or trepidation about that future wedding, because our future is Jesus. Remember the bride again, preparing herself for the wedding. What's she doing? She's making herself beautiful. Here's a question maybe to ask once every day this week, just for this week, to see what difference it makes. How am I becoming more beautiful so that I'm ready for that future wedding? What are the blemishes I'm praying that God will take away? The sins, the character flaws, the personal failings. And what are the virtues, the fruits of the Holy Spirit that I'm looking for him to cultivate in me? What spiritual fruits am I pursuing with the help of the Holy Spirit so that I can be ready, a fitting bride for the glorious bridegroom? Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you have shown us of the Lord Jesus through this miracle he performed at Cana. Would you help us to be ready for our marriage to the glorious bridegroom? In Jesus' name. Amen.